This is Critical Thinking Part 11, UFOs, UAPs, and the American Chrononauts. So I think I just figured out time travel, or at least if the quantum echo hypothesis holds true, then I've figured out a way to time travel. And I can't believe it took me this long to figure out, and when I tell you, you're gonna see that it's so easy, it's stupid. But before I get into that, I want to start by reporting a victory, because with your support, listening, and following, shares, and comments, we grew Sonic Gravity Streams, and we grew the tribe 260% from May to June in 2021. And Sonic Gravity is just pure objective crazy. No sponsors, it's unmonetized, and it's just objective madness. So, thank you. And as I'm sort of marinated on these subjects week to week, when I run across certain kinds of episode-relevant content in the universe of information, sometimes that content, particularly video or documentary evidence, is such that the audio podcast isn't the ideal channel over which to share that content. But sometimes it's a super illustration of something that's discussed in Sonic Gravity. Like, for instance, for the Crime of the Century episodes, there's a video interview of the most successful doctor in the world at treating COVID, Dr. Joseph Varone from San Antonio, Texas, who's been interviewed by practically every news outlet in the world over 1,600 times, and he says ivermectin works to cure COVID, and he's been using it forever, but it's economic pressure from the global pharmaceutical industrial complex that's covering it up, but it's not something that really fits into my audio podcast venue. And there's a recent UFO sighting I posted where you can actually see the Tic Tacs Higgs displacement field envelope during the daytime with all the gravitational lensing. And the kid who took the video, you can hear him talking, and he's talking about how the Tic Tac is skimming the surface of the water, but there's no wake. And then there's the Tic Tac looks to me like it drops the field and disappears. The kid who posted it posted that it went underwater, and I think that's possible. But when you look at it, as the Tic Tac goes away, the last part of the visible field is at the bottom of the sphere as we see it. And geometry tells us that if the Tic Tac really submerged, the last part of the viewable field would be the top of the sphere as the craft sank in. But either way, it didn't make any wake and it never makes a splash, which must be quantum tunneling. So I think that the field was killed and then the particle symmetry renormalized in the future, and that's why it disappeared. But it was over water, so that might indicate one of two things. One, the zero-point energy field might be a different field than the Higgs boson field that drops to fly the Tic Tac massless, because if you killed the field and you were over water, then you would fall down and sink. And spoiler alert, because it's the reason we might have actually figured out time travel, and it's possible that some of these Tic Tacs are actually here and real, but still from the future, or at the very least, the technology was from the future originally. Now, I'll get to why about that in a minute, but that kind of content doesn't transmit with the same impact during an audio podcast, so I started a Facebook page and an Instagram account and a Twitter account for Sonic Gravity. So if you want to check out those pages, you'll see some of that cool stuff that goes back to the podcast and helps to kind of illustrate some of those points. So if you do check out that Sonic Gravity content on those other platforms like Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, please like, follow, and share on those platforms if you find that material interesting, so that the social media algorithm shares the content to more people and brings them into the Sonic Gravity orbit. Now, if you remember from Critical Thinking Part 10, UFOs, UAPs, and the Quantum Echo Hypothesis, at the end of that episode, I said that this episode, Critical Thinking Part 11, was going to be UFOs, UAPs, and creating reality. That's going to be really interesting, probably going to do that as the next episode, but this episode, I just had to do this episode first. Because believe me, when you figure out time travel, it's really hard to talk about something else. But I could just be a bipolar autistic psychopath, so you be the judge. So Roswell came up in Critical Thinking Part 4, UFOs, UAPs, and Quantum Field Theory. And there was a comment on Facebook, and they posted that Roswell was totally debunked and that nobody should talk about it, and it was like a splinter in my mind. I just had to figure it out. I had to make sure to see if Roswell was quote-unquote debunked, and if so, what did that mean? Because I didn't really know what they meant by debunked. I thought it was just facts, and that was all there was to it, and so I couldn't accept that something was debunked when I wasn't even totally sure exactly exactly what needed to be debunked. So I dove into Roswell to verify that it was in fact debunked. And no, based on the inductive observations I made during that exploration, I figured out exactly what happened at Roswell, and it led me to the conclusion that if the quantum echo hypothesis is valid, then the human race is already a time-traveling species, and humans from the future are already among us, and that is a fact. Well, let me inject a little precision into that statement. If aliens were pulled out of the crash site at Roswell, then aliens were pulled out of the crash site at Roswell, and the ship at Roswell contains alien technology upon which we have heavily relied in advancing our scientific understanding of the universe around us. And we are well on our way to traveling like they do, according to the sonic gravity quantum echo hypothesis. However, if on the other hand, those alien bodies with four fingers were in fact crash test dummies who had had one of their fingers broken off, like the Air Force said in its 1997 report in which it closed the case on Roswell, then the human race is already a time-traveling species and humans from the future are already among us, and that is a fact. So for the rest of this podcast episode, we're going to assume that the Air Force has integrity and isn't lying to us about fishing an alien out of the wreck at Roswell. We're going to go with what they've said, we're going to follow their story, and we're going to believe them that they say it's a crash test dummy in a gray uniform with four fingers because one of the fingers was broken off in the crash. When it comes to the Roswell incident in 1947, everyone said there was a crash, everyone said there was a flying saucer, including the Roswell Army Airfield press release, but then the next day, Roswell Army Airfield issued a correction. It was a weather balloon. There was a component of some kind of fabric, and we all saw the pictures. There was an eyewitness that said aliens were removed from the wreckage, and later, an official 1997 reply by the Air Force, the government said that they were crash test dummies, not aliens. And I didn't believe that. And the big reason I didn't believe that at first was because the Roswell crash happened in 1947, and crash test dummies weren't invented by Samuel Alderson until 1949. So how can two crash test dummies be fished out of the wreckage of a crash site that happened in 1947 if the crash test dummies weren't invented until 49, 2 years later? So I thought it was a lie. I began to assume that the gray bodies with four fingers were aliens. But think about it. If an eyewitness mistook a crash test dummies for alien bodies and they were crash test dummies, then the Roswell balloon must have come from our future. So if anyone rejects the notion that they were aliens, then they must accept the conclusion that the craft that crashed at Roswell was from the future, was from our future, and that is a fact. And think about it for a minute. A crash test dummy from the future makes perfect sense if what we're testing is whether or not a human could survive a trip from the future to the past. So the reason the craft was called a flying saucer was because it was a saucer-shaped craft. But the thing that jumped out at me was that the craft had crashed in Roswell, which is different than any of the Tic Tacs. Under the sonic gravity quantum echo hypothesis, we never recovered a Tic Tac, because under the quantum echo hypothesis, whenever the Tic Tac kills the field, then the quantum particle symmetry renormalization occurs and the hologram disappears from the past. Which is just like what we see in the 2021 footage of the Tic Tac on the sonic gravity Facebook page. It just skims and hovers across the water and then it disappears. But at Roswell, the craft didn't just disappear. It crashed. So it has to be something different than just the plain sonic gravity quantum echo hypothesis. Something else happened. If it was an alien and the alien crashed and we found the alien and we found the alien technology, that's one thing that could have happened. But if the Air Force wasn't lying and they're actually crash test dummies, then here's the simplest explanation. In Critical Thinking Part 6, UFO, UAPs, and zero-point energy, we figured out that we were looking at these Tic Tacs through a wormhole. We figured out that the wormhole was caused by the gravity created by the curvature of time when the Higgs singlet particles were decoupled from the craft and sent back in time, just like the Higgs singlet is during particle collisions at that Large Hadron Collider at CERN. Now, the reason that we can't ever pass through a wormhole is because the gravity of a black hole would scramble our atoms, right? But remember, in Critical Thinking Part 7, UFOs, UAPs, and the Key to Immortality, we realized that if we decouple our Higgs field, we become massless. So we are unaffected by inertia, which means under Einstein's theory of relativity, we are similarly unaffected by gravity. Which means that our Tic Tac, when massless, could theoretically pass through a wormhole unscathed. So if we wanted to test this hypothesis in the future, we'd create a saucer attached to a parachute like the Roswell balloon that would need to be small enough to be contained within the Higgs-Boson displacement field. And we'll call that the time traveler. We drop it out of a plane, it spins up its field, and underneath it, maybe a bigger craft or a similar wormhole generator creates a Higgs displacement field. And it's the Gates Higgs singlets fly into the past, say into 1947, which is where the exit of the Gates wormhole is. And if the traveler flies through the Gates field, then the time traveler, the Roswell balloon so to speak, passes through the bigger mass hole and exits through the Gates quantum echo in 1947. Then the traveler is in 1947, unscathed by the gate, because this craft, this traveling craft, has its own Higgs displacement field, so it doesn't have any mass either, and it wouldn't be wrecked by the gravity around the Gates hologram, the wormhole exit, so to speak. And so when the traveling craft enters 1947, still in its field, and it cuts its field, then its Higgs singlets will renormalize in 1947. And there you go. That's time traveling from the future to the past. So just to recap, you have a big gate, you turn on a Higgs displacement field, and you throw all of the Gates Higgs singlets back to 1947. Then in your own craft, you turn on your Higgs field, and your Higgs singlets go into the past, and then you fly your massless craft through the Gates mass hole on the future side. And then your massless Tic Tac should exit the wormhole through the Gates Higgs singlets in 1947. So now your massless Tic Tac is in 1947, and then you kill your field, and then your disassociated Higgs singlets will renormalize with the rest of you in 1947. And I think a traveler could re-spin up its Higgs displacer field and fly back through the wormhole to its original time or dimension, so to speak, but only if the gate was still open. And I think if the technology is eventually mastered to the point where we can decide how to control when our gate's disassociated Higgs field will land, when the symmetry break occurs, then we could travel forward or backward to any time we could reach. So just to recap, a traveler and a gate both disassociate their Higgs field, and both of their Higgs singlets are thrown back in time. The traveler in the future flies through the gate, also in the future, quantum tunneling through it, of course, and it exits the wormhole in whatever time that the gate's Higgs singlets flew back in time to. Then when the traveler kills its Higgs displacer field and its quantum entangled Higgs snap back and the traveler's particle symmetry renormalizes, the traveling craft is all together in the past, to the point in time back when the gate's Higgs singlets were thrown. But just think about that. That means that inside that traveling craft from the future, there could have been all kinds of documents, scientific notes, future technology that could be passed on. And it also occurs to me that the Higgs singlets only go into the past about half the time, so it's reasonable to suppose that traveling forward in time is also possible, depending on whether our Higgs singlets are thrown into the past or into the future. And in our next episode, Critical Thinking Part 12, Roswell Through the Wormhole, I'm going to unpack exactly how the derivation of the quantum echo hypothesis and the time travel arose from critical thinking over inductive observations I made as I spent about a day collecting open source data from the internet about Roswell. But before we end this episode, on June 25th, 2021, the Director of National Intelligence published an unclassified preliminary assessment on unidentified aerial phenomena. I tried to stay open-minded and objective, even though I was fairly certain I already knew what we were looking at. And I think the most significant cultural game changer was that the US government just validated the existence of UFOs and UAPs, and this alone should bring the topic from the taboo altar of disdain upon which hundreds of professional careers and reputations have been sacrificed in the name of social acceptance in the scientific community. But it also identified things that we already looked at to develop the hypothesis, like unusual flight characteristics, check, we know why, zero mass, zero point energy. UAPs pose a safety flight issue when it comes to aviators in our airspace as it becomes an increasingly cluttered air domain. Check. That makes sense, right? The more and more we fly in the future, the more and more cluttered the sky will be, and you don't want to get sideways with one of these Tic Tacs or it will pancake whoever gets into the Higgs displacement field. And they said they identified one UAP with high confidence. It looked like a large deflating balloon, and that makes absolutely perfect sense, doesn't it, since we just talked about it, since their Roswell story is still talking about a balloon situation. There were more than one UAP, and the report suggested that there were more than one kind of UAP sighted, which is to say that we won't be the only country with this technology for long. And of course, there's no way to rule out the presence of alien intelligence or alien UFOs and UAPs. But then I realized something and I got kind of disappointed in the report. It said they were unable to confirm that the US had any programs that could cause these sightings. And most commentators that I saw say that this said that there was no evidence that it was a US project. And it did not say that. It said it cannot confirm it was a US project. And not being able to confirm it because, say, it's classified is a whole lot different than there not being any evidence that it could be a U.S. project. And the report said that the UAP activity and increasing activity would pose a threat to activity in the air domain. And then I got a little bit disappointed because it doesn't need to be that way. All we'd need to do is write a policy today for future quantum travel tomorrow, say at a specific altitude or in this direction or in these areas. Then we could control where they fly, where they maneuver, and where and how they land. And that's when I realized that they're training in San Diego and Virginia Beach, because in the future we have already prescribed those training areas for this reason. And it won't be long before we figure it out that everything we do right now, including write messages and policies, becomes a time capsule that in the future we will read and know where to train and regulate our operations and maybe even communicate through a sign language of flight patterns. A sign language based on flight speed, direction, altitude, number of aircraft, formation, and location. A sign language, almost an interpretive dance that those Tic Tacs could use to send us messages from the future, including information about future threats, unseen dangers, and how to build a Tic Tac. And that is a fact. And since we can create a gate through which another craft can pass, by sending a craft inside its own Higgs displacement field through a gate or through another ship with a bigger Higgs displacement field, then we can already travel back and forth through time. So if the quantum echo hypothesis is true, and crash test dummies from 1949 were found in the 1947 Roswell crash site, then the quantum echo hypothesis is true, and that means we are already traveling back and forth through time. And that too is a fact.